Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. Father, thank you that you reconcile us to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that you have brought us here this morning to hear from your word. Father, we thank you for your word, which has been read here this morning in our presence. Thank you that it comes to us in the language that we can understand. But Father, we also recognize that we need your help to understand it properly. And so we ask for your help. Lord, as I preach, won't you fill me with your spirit and help me to preach clearly and boldly your truth. And as we all listen here this morning, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to listen for your voice, not man's voice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. How many churches did you pass by on your way here this morning? I know some of us come from Silverest, other side, on the east of Lusaka, some from Ibex, others even from down south. I forget the name of the place. Chilenge, is that it? Chilanga, down south. We've traveled a distance to get you this morning. How many churches did you pass by to get you? You don't have to give me an answer, but just think about it. Was it one? Was it two? Was it five? Was it 10? Could it even be 20? I mean, some of us come from Meanwood. That's there by the airport, Ndeke, right? How many churches did we pass by to get here this morning? Dietrich, did I hear you saying one? Yeah, I know you passed by one because I drive past it every time I come to visit you, but I'm sure you passed by more than one. There's a couple more. But the question really is intended to help us think about why. Why did you pass by those churches to come here? Why didn't you go to the church that is closer to your home? Why come here? And again, you don't have to give me the answer. Just think about it. Just think about it. Because this morning, I think this passage is teaching us a very important lesson about truth and remaining in the truth. This morning, I've entitled this message, "Stay in the Truth." Stay in the truth, and you will have Jesus and eternal life. Stay in the truth. And I wonder, maybe you have passed by all those other churches to come here this morning because you recognize here is where you can hear the truth being proclaimed. I don't know. I hope that's the case because that's what we try very hard to do, is to stick to the truth and proclaim the truth. Maybe you also recognize that there are many churches around in Lusaka that don't proclaim the truth. And so we have to think carefully about which church we're going to choose, which church we're going to attend, so that we ensure that we are staying in the truth. It is vital. I want you to look in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. This is a key verse for this message. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. This is our key verse this morning. Earlier this week, I had a chat with Satrida, the wife of Titus. Satrida and her little three-year-old son live down in SOS. And I helped them to move there because it was closer to her mother-in-law's house. And it seemed like a very nice place. Until sometime this year, within their neighborhood, one of their neighbors who live right next door with a house facing their own house started a beer house in that house. They started selling beer. The people came and they started drinking and having loud fun times together until midnight. Very noisy place. Now, sometimes, as you know, here in Lusaka, we have a situation known as load shedding. I don't know if you're familiar with that, where there is no electricity. I have it in my house. I'm sure you have it at your house. And even this beer house, they experience the same thing, where there is no electricity to play the music which they were listening to, which attracts people, and they all seem to enjoy that kind of music when they're drinking beer. And so they resorted to what we have done here this morning, just singing a cappella. Right? And I don't know if you've ever heard drunk people singing, but I'm told it is noisy and it is rowdy. The singing this morning was very beautiful. Thank you for your voices this morning. Always good to have Mr. Zulu and his powerful voice with us here. But there at this beer house, they were singing these songs, and Theophilus, bless his heart, little boy, 3 years old, he asked his mum, "Mum, is this a church? Is this a church?" He heard people singing, because he knows when he goes to church, people sing in church, right? And so for him, it was strange that people can be singing, and he thought maybe this is a church that has moved into the neighborhood, right? Now, of course, Theophilus is a young kid, and we can forgive him for making that mistake of, well, at least he was asking. He didn't say it out boldly, "This is a church." He was asking, inquiring. And that's probably a good attitude for us to have when we consider other churches around and other teachings. But I tell you the story also just to illustrate the importance that we have when we see other meetings or groups gathering to sing songs like we sing today. They may call themselves a church, but the question is it a church? Are they sticking to the truth? Are they sticking to the truth? We know that the answer to the question that that Theophilus asked is that no, that's not a truth. A church. That is a beer house. But what about the churches you passed by to get here this morning? What about this church where you are today? Is this a real church? Is this where you find the truth? And I think that's what we need to be asking ourselves this morning. There are so many churches in Zambia. So many churches in Lusaka, different denominations, each one claiming to know something better than the next. Some are promising healing. Some are promising prosperity and money, health, wealth. We heard this morning from our rector. Yeah, if there's one with the gift of healing. You know, I'm not sure you'll find someone like that here today, but I'm sure there are many churches you can go to. You'll find people claiming that gift and offering that gift in exchange for some of your money or exchange for something from you. They're singing songs. They're praising God in heaven. They're often a meeting on Sundays, just like you and I today. Some are meeting on Saturdays. Some are meeting on Fridays. In mosques. No matter which day of the week they are meeting, they are all claiming to worship the same God. Some even claim to be better than Christianity. What are some of the philosophies or religious ideas that you have heard of that claim to offer something desirable? I'm sure you can think of at least one or two in your community here in Lusaka. In the past 2 weeks, we've heard our rector, Dr. Paul Kayumba, speak to us from the book of 1 John. And in the introduction, he's been telling us about this letter and about the people that the Apostle John, who wrote this letter, about those people he was writing to. He's told us about some of the problems they were facing and a similar situation where there was false teaching out there that was deceiving and distracting people from the truth. He told us about the protognostics. That's a big word. But all we need to know about the protognostics is they were teaching a false teaching, which was different to what the apostles were teaching. It was a variation, a diversion from the truth. They were denying that Jesus is the Christ. They were denying that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, these people had started their journey through hearing the testimony of the Apostle John and maybe some of the other apostles sharing what they had seen and touched and experienced. That was 1 John chapter 1. They shared the testimony. They shared the message. People responded. They joined the church, came and sat on the pews. But soon they started hearing conflicting messages. Another story. Other claims about Jesus. A variation of the story of Jesus that wasn't according to the truth. And it did not match what the apostles were proclaiming. Some of them started to doubt the apostles' teaching. Some even left the church and followed that false teaching. How should you respond when you hear new teachings about Jesus? How should you respond when you hear teachings that don't agree with the words of Scripture? Don't agree with the words of the Bible? What is your response? So this morning in this message that I've titled, Stay in the Truth, and you will have Jesus and eternal life, I've got 3 points. My first point as we look through this text is some did not stay. Some did not stay. Look with me to 1 John chapter 18. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. I don't think it's a chapter 18 in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. And therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. Here in these 2 verses, we see that there were some people who did not stay. They did not stay with the community of believers, but they went out. They went out from us. And I want you to notice what the Apostle John calls them. He calls them antichrists. Antichrists. That's a very, I want to say, offensive word to be using for people who are claiming to be Christians. You know, the idea of the Antichrist at that time, the idea of the Antichrist was a mythological figure who would come at the end times and oppose the Christ. He would be the enemy of Christ and Towards the end of time, you would see the Christ would overpower this Antichrist. Now, there are many theories of the Antichrist and how and who this person might be, whether it is an individual, whether it is a spirit, or how it is. This is not the point of the message. What John is doing here is he's using that title of Antichrist, and he's applying it to people who went out from the truth. Went out from the truth. And this is the way John is beginning the section. He is alerting, even alarming his readers about the serious nature of what happens when you divert from the truth, when you do not stay with the truth. He calls them antichrists. People who do not stay in the community of believers, but left to follow the lies of deceivers, John calls them antichrists. John's readers who are reading this letter may even have known some of these people by name. It might have even been family members who had left to follow something that was not true. It is hurtful. It is hurtful. I don't know, maybe you sitting here today know some of your family members who are following something that's not true. It is hurtful. My brother, my very own brother, born from my own mother, he's not following Jesus, following other ideas. It hurts me, breaks my heart. I pray for him. Maybe you know somebody who's not following the truth. These people denied that Jesus is the Christ. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. These people denied that Jesus is the Christ. And John also calls them liar. A liar. Denying that Jesus is the Christ. There are some churches that you may know of that have rejected Christ as the only way to God. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the coexist movement. I know there are churches in Lusaka who are part of that movement, where they claim that all religions are all leading to God. Christians and Jews and Muslims and all religions. And so in their church services, they will have people from all different religions because they're saying, they all worship God. They offer fellowship with God, but they are liars, according to this verse. These are churches that have departed from the truth. They did not stay in the truth. They denied Jesus. Notice also that John says, they were never off us. They were never of us. That's verse 19. They may have been among us, sitting on the same chairs, maybe next to you, but they were never of us. And that really is a warning to each one of us here today. We don't know who will leave the truth. There might be some here today, seated. You are among us. But the way we know you are of us is that you will stay in the truth. And I'm not speaking specifically about this church, this denomination. There are many churches that stick to and proclaim the truth. If you stay to the truth, you are of us. You're of the community of the truth. But there are some who went out from us. There, you may know of people who used to sit in empty chairs that you see here now. Maybe you know of somebody who used to be here listening to the truth. I know of somebody who used to be here with us, among us. But they're not here today because they've been chasing after are the beliefs that are a distortion of Christianity. They're not here, but they were here. They used to sing the same songs that we sing. But he's no longer with us. He went out from us, following now a lie. I pray one day he will repent and come back to the truth. I do. But it is a scary thought that even as you sit here today, and we look at people sitting next to us, around us, are they going to see us in a month's time, in a year's time? My brother, my sister, stick to the truth. Stick to the truth. Look to someone sitting next to you or behind you. Just look at them and tell them this. Don't deny Jesus. Tell them, don't follow deceivers. Tell them, stay in the truth. Brothers and sisters, we have to stay in the truth. We have to stay in the truth. I want to read again 1 John 2 verse 24 and 25. It is our key verse for today. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. This brings me to point number two. Point number one was, some did not stay. Point number two is, ensure that the truth stays in you. The truth must stay in you. Look with me to verse number 20 to 25. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us. Eternal life. Eternal life. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 tells us, you have an anointing from the Holy One. What is this anointing that John is speaking about? Some of your translations might say, you have been anointed. I think a more accurate translation is one that says, you have an anointing. Something you have. Well, you know, in the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 33, God writes there in the Old Testament that a new covenant, in the new covenant, God will write his laws on our hearts. He will write his laws on our hearts. And we won't have to say to our neighbors, know him, because we will know him. Because God will do a change in our hearts. In the parallel part of the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36, God says, I will put my spirit on you and cause you to follow my laws. And so it's very clear that this anointing is something that God does. And you can see it is from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One. That is from God, the Father, God, the Holy Spirit, and even from Jesus Christ. But I want us to see also that this anointing is clearly connected to knowing. To knowing. Verse 20 says, you have an anointing, you have been anointed, and you all have knowledge. You know. And verse 21 continues by saying, I write to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know it. So here we see that this anointing that we have from the Holy One helps us to know the truth. But what truth? What truth does it help us to know? Well, we don't have to keep asking because the text does tell us. In verse 22, we read there, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. But verse 23, whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So that this truth that the anointing helps us to know is a truth about Jesus. Verse 22 tells us the opposite of the truth is to deny Jesus. Denying that Jesus is the Christ. This means to deny that Jesus is God's chosen King, His anointed King. Chosen to rule God's kingdom in righteousness and to bring salvation to all who believe in Him. Those who deny the Christ deny God's chosen King. Brothers and sisters, ensure that the truth stays in you. The truth about Jesus. Authentic Christianity is based on Jesus, based on truth about Jesus Christ. To reject or to deny Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is to reject the Father. You can't say that there is a way to the Father that bypasses the Son. There is no such way. The Son is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the is the only way to God. Jesus is the only way to reconciliation with God, to fellowship with God. There is no other way and no other name. John chapter 14, verse 6, a very famous verse in the Bible. In the words of Jesus, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Be very wary of churches or religions that try to offer you a way to God that avoids trusting in Jesus. Be very wary of people, of pastors, papas, or prophets who try to convince you that you need to contribute to your salvation by giving money, by doing good deeds, by doing works of righteousness, by contributing to the church, or even by purchasing charms from the prophets or papas. Be wary of these people. The only way to Jesus, the only way to the Father is through Jesus. The only way to fellowship with God is through Jesus. Not through something you can do. Only through Jesus. Stick to the truth, brothers and sisters. Stick to the anointing you have received from God. And this anointing helps you to know the truth. The truth that Jesus is God's Son, the Christ, the King of God's kingdom. Jesus is the Savior of those who trust in Him. Let's just dig a little bit deeper into this anointing. And here is the exciting part.
Here is the exciting part. Look at verse 24. It's our key verse. Our key verse says, if what you heard from the beginning, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son. Here is a very key connection to make. The anointing that John is talking about is something you hear. What you heard. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you. And also notice it teaches you about everything that is true. Look at verse 27, the second part of verse 27. His anointing teaches you. It teaches you about everything that is true. Brothers and sisters, verse 24 is an imperative. It is an instruction. And it's a thing that we must do. Let the truth about Jesus that the apostles recorded in the New Testament, that's what they heard from the beginning. The truth from the apostles, the original witnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They wrote down in the Bible, in the Gospels, in their epistles. They recorded the truth about Jesus. They proclaimed that truth, and the original Christians heard it from the lips of the very apostles who had spoken to Jesus, had spent time with Jesus, taught by Jesus, witnessed his death, witnessed his resurrections. They proclaimed this truth about Jesus to the people. And here John is saying, if that anointing you heard remains in you, then you will remain in Christ and in the Father. You will have fellowship with the Father. And for us today, brothers and sisters, we need to be staying in the truth, staying in what you heard from the beginning. Now, we weren't so privileged that we were there to hear from the lips of the apostles. We were not there, right? But we are privileged enough because the same apostles who spoke also wrote, and it's recorded for us in the Bible, in the scriptures, in the pages of the New Testament. We can remain in what we heard. Do not deviate from the truth. Stay in the truth. The Holy Spirit inspired the words of Scripture. The Holy Spirit inspired the apostles as they wrote. This is why we can also see that the words we receive are from the Holy Spirit. It is an anointing to us. It's the words of Jesus. In John chapter 16, John chapter 14, even John chapter 17, the same apostle John is writing and he says, quoting the words of Jesus, I will send the Comforter. The Comforter will come. And he will do what? He will remind you about the truth. He will remind you about everything that is about me. That's the anointing the Holy Spirit gives to each and every believer. He helps you to see truth. You know the truth because God said he will write his laws on your heart. He will change your heart. And he's given us also the very words of the apostles. And here we're seeing, let what you heard stay in you. Stay in you. I was very encouraged yesterday at my house. Some young ladies came for a fellowship meeting with my wife. And what really, really encouraged me about this group of young ladies who came is that they were very keen to spend time in the truth. They recognized the importance of spending time in God's Word, spending time in the truth with each other, talking about the truth, encouraging one another in the truth. So I was very encouraged that this group of young ladies have come and started this group, and they've committed to spending every week together on Saturday afternoons to encourage one another in the truth and to grow together in the truth. This is good. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to do something similar. Find a brother, find a sister, ladies, and meet with them regularly if you can, just to sit down and read God's Word together. Open the pages of Scripture, read it, talk about it. Encourage one another to stay in the truth and let the truth stay in you. What a blessing. What a blessing that we can have God's Word and we can encourage one another in it. But I want you to see the wonderful promise. The wonderful promise that God gives to those who keep trusting His word. Verse 24. You will abide. You will stay. You will remain. I'm not sure this is the right Chinyanja word, but you will nkala. In the Son, and in the Father. What a wonderful privilege to stay in the Father and in the Son, to have that fellowship. We cannot underestimate the beauty and the wonder of this promise God is giving to us sinners who don't deserve this. And the only reason we can have time with God and stay in Jesus and stay in the Father and stay in that fellowship is because Jesus washes away our sins. Jesus is the one who died to wash away our sins. Jesus is the one who makes it possible for us to be in that fellowship with God. We would not be able to have that unless Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood to wash away our sins. It's the only way we can have fellowship with God. And that's why it is so, so tragic when there are people who deny Christ. It's the only way to Jesus. It's the only way to the Father. Through trusting in what Jesus has done. Not trusting in what you can do for yourself, but what Jesus has done. But not only that. Verse 25 says, you have eternal life. This is the promise. You have eternal life. Wow, immense blessings. Brothers and sisters, let the truth stay in you. Stay in the truth so you can have these blessings. And you know, this is the very thing that John was saying in the very beginning of his letter. In John chapter 1, verse 3, he says, you might want to turn there. John 1, 3. It says, that which we have seen and that which we have heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We have this fellowship. But whilst you're there in 1 verse 3, just look up also to the first verse, 1 and 2. John says, what we heard from the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked at, we've touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We could see it. The life. And we have seen it. And we testify it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life. Do you see that connection? The eternal life is what I've seen, what I've touched, I've experienced the eternal life. What John is saying here is that Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. Go to the last verse of this letter, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and then look at, not the last verse, but the second last verse, verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, and that is in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is true God. He is eternal life. Do you see that? Jesus Christ is eternal life. Do not deny Jesus. Stay in the truth. As I close, I want to look to the last point. Stay in Jesus. stay in Jesus. First, we looked at some did not stay. Secondly, we looked at the truth must stay in you. Now, as I close, I want us to look at this last point. Stay in Jesus. Stay in Jesus. Because that's what the truth tells us to do. Look at verse 26 with me, please. John writes, and he says, he gives us a reason why he's writing. He says, I'm writing to you these things about those who are trying to deceive you. So clearly, there's people trying to tell them lies. Verse 27, but the anointing that you received. Now that anointing we've already seen is the words. It is the truth about Jesus. The anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. Why? Because his anointing teaches you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Abide in Jesus. There are those that might be trying to lead you astray. You know who they are. You encounter them in your workplace or along the street, or they're your neighbors trying to lead you astray. But you know that what they're saying is not true. You know it is a deception because you know the truth. You know the truth. Brothers and sisters, it is essential that we stay in the truth. The only way you're going to recognize a lie is when you stay in the truth. Stay in the truth. Stay in Jesus. This truth which we are urged to stay in, this truth, which we've been told if we stay in it, we have fellowship with God and we have eternal life. The same truth tells us to stay in Jesus. Stay in him. Today we should all be reminded that we have God's anointing. We have God's Spirit-inspired word. And we have the Spirit who inspired the Word. He is with us. He is in us. We don't need any extra teaching. We don't need a Dr. Kayumba to come and tell us the truth. The truth is already in the Scriptures. Dr. Kayumba can help us to find the truth and dig into that truth and reveal its depth to us. We don't need an extra teaching. It's there in the Word. The Word and God's Spirit and Jesus is sufficient. He teaches us all truth. Remain in him. Brothers and sisters, this morning God, through his inspired word, is reminding each one of us that the only way that we can have fellowship with God, the only way that we can have eternal life, is by staying in Jesus. So let me urge you this morning, stay in him. I close with a story. A very dear friend of mine, I had dinner with him this week. He was fighting back tears in his eyes as he told me about his daughter, an adult daughter, who is dating an unbeliever. Unbeliever. His great concern for his daughter was that if she pursues that relationship, she may not stay in the truth. She may not stay in Jesus. And the very reason why he was so heartbroken about this is because his very same daughter, her best friend, also was a good Christian, was in the church, used to sing songs in the pews, used to be a very dedicated believer, but that friend also married an unbeliever. And today that very same lady is no longer in the truth. she has departed from the truth, no longer in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, especially those who are not married, don't marry someone who is not in the truth. Don't marry somebody who is not in Jesus. We've already lost one of our dear members here through marriage. Although I wouldn't argue that she married someone who's not in Jesus, but in the Baptist church, you know. And we've lost a very dear and valuable member of our church to the Baptists. We thank God that the Baptists there in Kabwata are also in the truth. And so we know that our dear loved daughter is in the truth. But it's not always that way. Be careful who you choose to marry. Be careful who you choose to spend your time with. Be careful what sort of ideas you choose to engage with. Make sure you're not going to lose the truth which you have. Stay in the truth. Stay in Jesus, and you will have eternal life. Amen.